Man, well, good evening, everyone. I'll just add my own welcome to Abraham's. Hasn't it been fantastic to have the community choir singing for us this evening? A few weeks ago, somebody said to me, "Where is St. Mark's Church?" And I was trying to describe it, and then he said, "Is that the church beside the speed camera on North Road?" And I said, "Well, that's not the way I like to think of it. I like to think that's the speed camera beside the church on North Road." But not only are we the church beside the speed camera, we are also the home of Gabava Community Choir. It's a wonderful relationship. We're very grateful for you being with us this evening and for singing for us. For just a few minutes, we'll think about from winter to Christmas. From winter to Christmas. It's winter time outside. What is there to celebrate about winter time? Winterfest. It never struck me as one of those sort of celebrations that might capture the imagination of all the world. After all, what is winter really all about? Colds and lemsips, dripping roofs, grey skies, short days and long nights. That's what winter really is. Birds that are wiser fly south, animals that are able to hibernate, and people that have the means and the opportunity escape with Thomas Cook to sunnier climes. Of course, being from Northern Ireland, I'm no stranger to the cold, dark and damp of summer. And I also know a thing or two about winter as well. But seriously, we know that there are good things about winter. We know that there are log fires, skiing in the Alps. But we also know that really, deep down, winter's not the way life's supposed to be. And it's been long been used as a code for all that's wrong with this world. So we sang it in a hymn, "In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan. Earth stood hard as iron and water like a stone." How about this? You might know this famous introduction to a classic novel. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. The winter of despair. Charles Dickens, A Tale of Two Cities, these two worlds living side by side. How has this last year been for you as we look back over 2019? Sure, for many of us, there have been good times and many things to celebrate. And yet for others, as we look back, there will be times of great sadness that we will remember in this year. Perhaps we've suffered ill health. We may have lost a job, or we may even have lost a loved one in this past year. Or perhaps we've just felt the pressures, the fears, the busyness of everyday life. For many of us, winter hasn't just begun. This whole year has been one of winter. And we're not alone. For millions of people all across the world, all that they will ever know and experience of life in this world is hunger, pain, and oppression. That's all that they will ever know. Sooner or later, we will find out that we are living in a world of wintertime. But let's just step back from that for a moment and ask another question. What kind of people do we imagine that we are that are living in this wintertime? Well, I don't know if you thought about, you know, that story, Tale of Two Cities. Which city do you identify with? I always like to think that I was in England, you know, in the season of hope. We always like to think that we're goodies. We're on the side of what's right. I'm nice enough to everyone, deep down. I'm a good guy. If there's anyone to blame for wintertime, it's not me. It's somebody else. It's their fault. They're the ones who don't fix the potholes in the roads. They're the ones that are responsible for the trains not running when a leaf falls onto the line. They are the ones who are responsible for the bins not being emptied. It's them. They are to blame. It's always their fault. Let's just step back a further, take another step back and ask another question. Have you ever wondered if there's life out there somewhere in the universe? You know, are we alone? Or is there more going on out there? For some time, people have sort of imagined, you know, they thought that the universe certainly is quite big, so there could possibly be other things up and out there. But what would we imagine that they would be like? Well, they would be strange, different. They would be alien to our way of life. They would have it in for us. They would be hostile, scary. What would happen if somehow those things which are out there were to come here? What would happen? Well, of course, they would come to invade and destroy us, to end our way of life forever, turn this whole world into some terrible torture chamber. The very thought scares us. The possibility that there might be something out there that has it in for us that could be coming our way. And if that was to happen, we'd have to all put our differences aside and all pull together if we were to stand a chance. It doesn't really matter about potholes and railway lines and bins in the face of a common enemy out there. After all, we should be able to just sit down together. We're the goodies. We can all just sit down together. Bette Midler hoped to give us a different perspective. Just step back from this world at a distance. What would you see? Well, from a distance, we all have enough. There is no one in need. There are no guns, no bombs, and no disease. There are no hungry mouths to feed. So said Bette Midler from a distance. How sweet. Sweet, isn't it? You know, from a distance, that's what you would see. We're all goodies, really. If there's anything out there, it must be bad. And if it does come, we'd all pull together to save the day. A hero will arise. A middle-aged megalomaniac like Tom Cruise or Keanu Reeves or Daniel Craig or Will Smith. They're literally queuing up to fill that role and to save the day. And we have another Hollywood blockbuster, Independence Day, Signs, War of the Worlds, and millions, hundreds of millions in the box office. Have you ever wondered why that sort of story resonates with people all across the world in the way that it does? Because I think in a very deep way, it reveals how we actually do think, not just about fantasy things that aren't real, but how we actually think the universe really is. We think if there is anything out there higher up above this world, bigger and older and more powerful, that it's probably having a good time. Probably sitting back on some kind of celestial armchair, coasting on a sunbed. In other words, enjoying summer up there while we are here down here in the winter. The only kind of person that would do that and enjoy summer up there while we're down here in winter would, of course, be a baddie, cruel, heartless. For long years, hundreds of millions of people across the world lived and died thinking that was the kind of world in which they lived. That they should do the right thing or say the right thing to somehow climb up to the gods that sat back in armchairs in the sunshine while they struggled in the winter without even a finger being lifted to help them. You probably know, you know, there's been some writers more recently in the UK who've made quite a good living from actually ridiculing that whole story, pouring scorn on it, saying, there is nothing up there at all. Don't worry about it. Just put on your coat and go out into the winter time and enjoy as much as you can. And then, in the middle of winter, there was Christmas. The turning point in all the history of the world. As the clock stopped and the calendar was reset and all the world came to a standstill. On a dark and lonely hillside, the small group of shepherds watched over their sheep at night into this dark, cold world of winter. A real life invasion from outside took place. That night, the angels coming from above, older, more powerful, more complex than any of us, formidable, before whom all our guns and knives and intercontinental ballistic missiles are just like little water pistols. They don't hurt them in the same way that they can hurt us. Now, what would those angels have seen if we were to imagine, if they were like looking down from above, from a distance upon this world? What would they have seen? Well, as they looked down, they would have looked down and seen that the world is all one whole. It's all big one world. And they would have seen that far from what Bette Midler sort of sweetly imagined, that there are hundreds of millions who don't have enough to eat, that there are many guns and many bombs, that this world is one big mess, and that nobody can separate themselves out from it and say, they are to blame over there. We're all part of it. Love the excuses that we came up with. There was a thief who was stealing a television, and when he was caught, he said, I thought all the stuff was free. That's what he said. Somebody else who was caught, like sort of fly-tipping, dropping things off that they weren't supposed to, said, oh, all that stuff just fell off my van. It all just fell off. It wasn't me. It all just fell off. The angels would have taken in a moment that it's not really goodies in the winter, but really it's a world in a mess, a world full of baddies, if we're really honest. There was much reason for those shepherds to be afraid. They wouldn't have been able to fight back. They didn't have any weapons. What could they have possibly done? They were terrified. And then the angels spoke words of great comfort that have rolled down the centuries. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of joy, great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. These majestic warriors from above, we're not coming in to destroy our world, but we're coming in peace, waving a white flag at Christmas time, announcing that someone had come down into this world. He had never meant, of course, for this world to be one of winter time. He'd not made it that way at the very beginning. But our first parents chose to turn away from his light and life and plunge themselves and all the world down into a dark, cold winter. High above all of that, there wasn't some lonely God sitting back on a celestial armchair, but rather a Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, these three persons who've lived in joy and gladness before all eternity, bigger than us, older than the universe, knowing all things, filling everything with their glory, bigger than us in every way. But you know, at Christmas time, what they did, and this is the most remarkable thing of all, they looked down, took it all in, saw it all in a moment. All the war and crime and injustice and oppression on the outside, and all the greed and the lust and the lies and the anger and bitterness on the inside. People shaking their fists at heaven. What did the real God do? Chose to be bigger in every way, to not hold any of that against us, but rather to come down himself to help us. Coming down into this world, becoming our brother to save us, to take away our sins, to cast his lot in with us forever. Not moving in for a day or a week or a month, but coming to stay, always with us, to lift us up into his own wonderful life, his summertime. To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Have you ever wondered why Christians for centuries, certainly in the Northern Hemisphere at any rate, celebrated Christmas at the darkest time of the year? Because they were saying that there is no night too dark for Jesus to shine. This winter time, in these last few moments before we go next door and have mince pies and mulled wine, there's an opportunity to pass from winter into Christmas. Not a single one of us tonight has to leave this place alone and go out into the cold, dark night. The Lord Jesus himself will come into our hearts, will always be with us, will love us to the very end. In Northern Ireland, each summer, well, with the very first sign of spring, what did we do? It always came in about August, but our first sign of spring, we put away our scarves, we put away our hats and our gloves, and we got out our sunglasses and our shorts and our t-shirts, ready for the summer, ready for all that was to come. This winter time, in the midst of this winter, with Jesus, there is spring, there is summer, there is Christmas. Let me pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, our great God and Master, we thank you that in your love and kindness towards each one of us, that you left the summertime of your glory in heaven and exchanged the throne for the manger to lift us up out of darkness and sin and death, to love us and to belong to us forever. We pray that this Christmas time we might enter into all that you have for us. And we ask it in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen.